May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've been in the One Thing devotionals, doing some things with Ruth as I've sort of taken a pause briefly from Song of Solomon. Sometimes the Song of Solomon is a lot of fun, but it's wears you out a little bit. In Ruth chapter 3, which is one of the great chapters in all the Bible, that I guess this is for you, Donna, since Ruth is your favorite. This is when, after 7 weeks of Ruth gleaning from Boaz's fields during the barley season, at the end of the 7 weeks, the barley harvest happens at the threshing floor. And they would finish threshing the barley, and at the end of it, they would have this big party and celebration. And Naomi told Ruth, after this 7 week period of getting to know Boaz, that she was to go to the threshing floor, and that at some point Boaz would go to sleep against the harvest that had been winnowed, and that she was to go and to lay at his feet and expose his feet. And so she did that, and it says in this chapter that he was making merry, he went to sleep, she went and laid at his feet, and then when he woke up, she had covered herself with his cloak, which was a statement of asking for redemption, asking for him to redeem her life, asking him basically to marry her and restore her name, to give her his name, and to redeem her life. It's a great, great book about revival. Because redemption always leads to revival. And so as she does that, he wakes up and realizes who she is, and he delights in the fact that she's there, which is so contrary to what most of us think in our own spirituality. We think when we go to God asking him for forgiveness and redemption, revival, that he's pretty frustrated with us because sometimes we're going because of the same thing again. But the truth is, the scripture says, and this Ruth passage is so amazing, it says in verse 10, then he said to her, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. Just a remarkable passage of scripture that not only was he not frustrated or disappointed or disgusted for this Moabite woman coming and asking for redemption, for union, he delighted. He was happy. It brought him joy. And we've talked about this over the years. Nothing brings God greater joy. It's not just about the lost, but it's also true for the saved. Nothing brings heaven greater joy than when somebody in sin comes to him, believing that he alone is the solution for your situation. Whether it's forgiveness that you come into the kingdom, or whether you're part of the kingdom, and you just need healing and wholeness, redemption and filling. Well, one of the things that's said towards the end of this chapter that's always blown me away, it says in verse 14, so she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another and said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it. And he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. And then she said, wait, my daughter. This is Naomi speaking to Ruth. Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. The matter is that when he's talking to her on the threshing floor, she says, you're my kinsman redeemer. She's asking for redemption and fullness, revival. And he says, well, there's one who's actually closer. It's the flesh law. We don't have time to talk about all that. And he says, I've first got to settle it with him. And if he can't redeem you or won't redeem you, I will. And so she goes back and tells her mother-in-law all this. And her mother-in-law gives this amazing answer. Says to her, because this is a big thing she's asking Boaz to do. There's a lot at stake in terms of their life. Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, But hear this about Jesus. For Jesus will not rest until the matter you've committed to him is settled this day. Scripture calls us to a Sabbath rest. It's not the rest of passivity. It's the rest of trusting in his activity. As a matter of fact, once you enter into Sabbath rest and you walk in that, which is one of the great manifestations of real personal revival, you can do a lot more because you're not being weighed down and worn out by tension and stress because all of it's laid on his adequate shoulders. Now, I love this scripture that whatever it is that you're facing and what you're dealing with, if in at the threshing floor, in that place of absolute, utter surrender, dependence, repentance of your own self-effort, lets a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it stays alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. That place of, once again, confirming and renewing the fact that you can't do this. You can't. It's not you. Your strength is not enough. And you just lay it at his feet, and you're reminded that he's not going to rest until he settles it. Therefore, you can. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need you staying up worrying and sitting around in imagination and fantasy fretting. Because, you see, he won't rest until the matter's settled. And then I love this verse that kind of goes with it for me, at least today, from Psalm 45. See what it says about him. In verse 3 of Psalm 45, gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, and in your splendor and in your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously. Here's the thing that God wants us to expect. God doesn't want you to expect, as you rest in Jesus, and Jesus deals with the situation, circumstance, whatever it is, that somehow he's going to squeak by and it's going to turn out okay. That's not the kind of victories that Jesus wins. Ride on in your majesty victoriously. Jesus always wins majestic victories. It's just the way he is. He always wants to do bigger than you can imagine that he can do. That's true in anything. Let's just use a practical example today. Some of you are going to pray for some of you to be healed. That is beyond you. But it's not beyond the him who lives in you. Because greater is he who lives in you than he who's in the world, or anything that he's in the world the devil can do. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And so you can restfully release Christ in Jesus' name and deal with that expecting a majestic victory. Let's not just expect better. Let's expect overcoming. Or in the practical situations in your life, every one of you have got something going on in your circumstances, and the Lord's inviting you to lay that down at the threshing floor, where you surrender once again your ability and you commit it to his hands, knowing that you can now rest on the inside as you go about life, because he won't. But I just dare you to expect him who rides on majestically towards victory, to win a majestic victory. Don't settle for some little victory. Ask God for a redemptive, majestic victory. Expect him to have a majestic victory. Confess what you believe in your heart, a majestic victory. Does that make sense to you? Jesus always wins. Jesus doesn't win 14 to 13. Jesus wins 413 to nothing. The resurrection is proof of that. Nothing could have looked bleaker. Nothing could have seemed darker. Nothing could have seemed more impossible. Nothing could have appeared too late. And Jesus didn't just win. He won a majestic victory. For the first time in history, someone conquered death permanently. Expect that from him. Expect him not just to squeak by, but in your majesty, Lord, ride on victoriously. It's a great prayer, actually. A great prayer of faith that when you lay something at his feet or you give something to him, you're trusting something with him, knowing that you can rest with those words on your mouth. In your majesty, Lord, ride on in victoriously. I'm thanking you, Lord, now for a majestic victory. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.